Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So even big leaguers aren't immune to the same travel difficulties that we all have to suffer through in our daily lives. Welcome back. Ben and Paulie here with you. Woods, you'll be back on Wednesday. Sam Levitt in studio. In an hour from now, going to join us and co-host this program. You feel like, oh, big league charter travel. You've got, you know, team planes and stuff. It's as nice as it gets. They take your bags at the ballpark. You hop on a bus. You drive onto the tarmac. You get right on the plane. There's no security. No nothing. Same thing when you get where you're going. Get right off. Hop on a bus. Get to the hotel. It's the best possible travel, essentially. But there always are exceptions, and Joe Musgrove ran into that this weekend. I don't know if you saw the story, but he was always scheduled to make a Sunday rehab appearance, and the Padres were kind of coy about where it was going to be. But usually what you want to do, obviously you want to get him against the right, you know, competition, but mostly you want to reward one of your affiliates by sending one of your stars down and giving him a good home game. You know, hey, that's going to draw some people to, in this case, it was supposed to be San Antonio, the Mission's Double A. And he'll face some Double A batters, you know, pitch whatever, 3 to 4 innings, and maybe draw some extra fans. And they get a chance to say, hey, we got to see Joe Musgrove pitch here in San Antonio. That's actually a pretty cool thing for a minor league fan base. Problem, though, Joe wanted to stick around and watch the game on Saturday. So instead of taking the early afternoon flight, he was booked on the latest flight to San Antonio, Southwest, out of Lindbergh Field. And then he found out right as he was heading to the airport, that flight got canceled for whatever reason. And there were no other flights to San Antonio that were going to get him there for the Sunday game.
So this was not a last-minute change in plans from the Padres.
No, then the Padres had to do a quick pivot. And, well, where can we get Joe to? Like, Elsinore's close, except they're on the road. So they had to send him up to Fresno to pitch on the road for the Lake Elsinore Storm last night in low single-A ball. Now, you know, pitches are pitches, and it doesn't really matter. And he did get up to Fresno and ended up pitching 3 1/3 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, no walks, 2 strikeouts. The good news was, according to at least the Fresno broadcasters, you know, it's the technology in minor league ballparks isn't quite what it is in major league ballparks, but
you don't say.
They had a radar gun at some point, and they said he was in mid-90s, you know, 94 to 96 consistently, and he certainly was throwing strikes. Joe threw 43 pitches in his 3 1/3 innings. 35 of them were strikes. Maybe too much in the strike zone a couple of times. Did give up, as I said, the 4 hits and a couple of runs. But I'd say, for the most part, you'd rather see that than a guy who's struggling to find the zone and walks a bunch of guys. So I would say mission accomplished. Obviously, they'll evaluate how he feels. And he's hopping on, a flight from Fresno to Pittsburgh to join the team in Pittsburgh. They left after the game yesterday, so Padres
were
already there.
So when's he eligible
there
to return? What's the updated timeline looking like?
So they can bring him back now whenever they want. They'll have to activate him off the 60-day injured list. But when he's ready, they can have him start. It's kind of decision time now. Either they can send him down for another rehab start, and then probably after that he could come back to the big leagues, or Or there's talk that he could be back in this road trip and maybe
this
pitch this weekend in Miami as his first start. And I kind of wonder, as we mentioned, that the Padres have TBA on their list for Thursday. That won't be Joe. They won't throw him on 3 days rest on Thursday in
all right,
Pittsburgh.
Kid, you want to come back?
Just to be clear. But you may change your plan depending on how the first two days go. If both, you know, Dylan Cease and Michael King go fairly deep into games and you got a really rested bullpen, you may go with Martin Perez on 4 days rest on Thursday and feel like, okay, if we're going well, we could bring Joe back then this weekend. We could skip Randy Vasquez in the turn then. And, you know, he's not a guy we've talked about a lot. We talk about King in terms of the innings limit and how much he's got left.
Right.
Vasquez is also pitching more than probably anyone thought he was going to in the starting rotation this year and eating up innings that he has not pitched in before. And if they want to save him a little bit for September, he's not going to be in the Padres starting rotation, knock on wood, in like a playoff series. But he might be your swing guy, your long reliever that comes in if you need a guy early in a game somewhere, either in late September or in October. So you want to save some of those innings in case, you know, you need him in more situations that are important later in the year. So you may want to skip a Randy Vasquez. And again, I was speculating last week about why they were, you know, skipping Michael King. It was a pretty simple explanation that Mike Schilt gave us on Friday. It's just dealing with that comebacker that hit him in the calf. And he did throw a bullpen on Saturday and is scheduled now to go in the Pirates series. So don't want to over-speculate about the TBA on Thursday. But I would imagine that Joe's return and how the first two games and Martin Perez, how well he threw on Saturday, all kind of factors into the decision of who they're going to give that start to in the series finale against the Pirates.
Yeah, it's... You got like another week or two before it's really crunch time. You got a little bit of, I don't want to say flexibility because we don't have the flexibility. We don't have a ton of depth right now for starting pitching. But, man, you don't want to be having bullpen games like in September as scoreboard watching continues and this wild card race heats up. If it takes another week to really get Joe 100% right and ready to go for the stretch, do whatever it takes.
And if Joe comes back and is, you know, Joe-like, and Martin Perez can do anything like he did on Saturday.
My God, what an outing.
Then the Padres probably should be okay when it comes to enough starting pitching to get them to the end of the season. We'll talk more about that coming up. Right now, though, we need a contestant for Take on John. John's going to be here in for Woods again. And we've got a brand new prize here in August. It's a really good one. It's a two-night stay at Resorts World Las Vegas, which I visited last time I went to Vegas. Spectacular property.
It's beautiful.
And two tickets to Carrie Underwood, who is returning to Vegas with her critically acclaimed production, Reflection, the Las Vegas Residency at Resorts World Theater. Tickets for performances from August 14th to October 26th on sale now at AXS.com and RWLasVegas.com. But if you want to get into our drawing, you can be the first this month. Take on John today, 833-288-0973. It's our musical trivia challenge, 833-288-0973. Call in now. We'll play our game probably in less than 60 seconds. So fast fingers, need a contestant, and we'll play Take on John here in just a second. So, yeah, Padres rotation is a little bit in flux, but maybe looking upward with the potential return of Joe Musgrove here. If not this road trip, then certainly next week, probably at the latest, assuming no setbacks, assuming, you know, he comes out of yesterday's start in Fresno feeling pretty good. That's good news for the San Diego Padres going forward. No updates on Yu Darvish. I didn't see any this weekend other than continuing to offer him his support, and he'll let the Padres know when he's ready to come back off the restricted list. But I'm not even counting on that. That would just be like a bonus.
Just out of curiosity, what was the status of his health before the restricted list?
He was almost back. I think he was getting close to a return. So hopefully,
as long as he's doing basic
extra time, he'll have to build up again. Obviously, if he comes back for probably a couple of minor league starts, but I think the health was improving. All right, I see some contestants on the line. Let's get to it. New prize. Let's take on John.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods.
Take
Woods.
All right, let's go to James. You just heard the prize. That's an exciting one, James. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go Padres.
Go Padres. All right, here are your category choices. We've got The Afterlife, five song titles and artists, including the word after. Go Where You Want to Go. Those are song titles with the word go. And Hold Please, five song titles that begin with the word hold. Afterlife, Go Where You Want to Go, or Hold Please, James?
Go.
Go Where You Want to Go. All right, let's hear it again for Tier 1 Janice, who submitted another category for us. This time, we are looking for songs with the word go in the title. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many as you can. If you don't know one, you can say pass. We'll come back to it. First question's our two-second song. Paulie's going to play some music. You need to give me the title with the word go somewhere in it and the art at that point. Remember, two parts on the two-second song. You'll go, and then John will go. We'll compare scores. If you beat or tie him, you're in the drawing for Resorts World and Carrie Underwood. James, you ready to play?
Let's go.
All right, let's put 60 seconds on the clock. James, your time begins when Paul plays the music in the category Go Where You Want to Go. Good luck, James. Let's take on John.
Clash, Should I Stay or Should I Go?
Correct. Wham! Makes reference to the 1930s dance craze The Jitterbug, in the opening to which breakthrough 1984 hit.
Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Correct. Which upbeat track by Prince and the Revolution is both the opening track for the album and the movie Purple Rain?
Let's Go Crazy.
Correct. After singing Baby, Baby, the Supremes ask which heartbreaking question in the title of a 1964 Motown classic?
Pass.
Actually written by Daryl Hall but never released by Hall & Oates, which ballad of love and loss became a huge hit for English musician Paul Young in 1985?
Go back to the Supremes.
After singing Baby, Baby, the Supremes ask which heartbreaking...
Where did our love go?
Correct. Actually written by Daryl Hall but never released by Hall & Oates, which ballad of love and loss became a huge hit for English musician Paul Young in 1985. Ooh, we run
just
out
ran.
Of time. You got four, though. Good score. Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Clash? Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. Wham. Let's Go Crazy. Prince. Where Did Our Love Go? Baby, baby, where did I love... Let's go. I'm not really a Motown singer. And then the last one, not. Paul Young, is Every Time You Go Away. All right, let's bring John. I didn't even see him out there. There he is.
He's ready.
Hiding behind the
door.
He's
ready to go.
All right, you got headphones? Do we have headphones over here for John? James's score is locked in. John, it's good to see you.
Morning,
let's,
boys.
Let's get in here.
Everyone wants to know in our chat, how did the first pitch go on Friday night?
Yes. I'm curious. I did not see the first pitch.
We'll never speak of this again.
Uh-oh. Oh.
I bounced it, boys. I bounced it.
I bounced mine,
so
too.
Did you?
Yeah, who caught yours?
Ball girl Claire.
Oh, okay.
She was so kind.
I feel like Johnny Brito still should have picked mine. It wasn't that long.
You had Johnny Brito catch yours?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, well, Woods had Kyle Higashioka, and you had...
Azokar.
Jose Azokar.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I know.
Boy, I guess I see where we rank. No disrespect to Claire the ball girl, but yeah, I got so nervous, man. And by the way, they warmed us up in center field. Is that where you guys went as well?
That was nerve-wracking,
too. I wasn't nervous till I got out there. I touched the grass, and then I lost my you-know-what, and I was sweating.
Same way.
I looked like Joe at the taking on the Mets again. I was sweating so profusely, and the ball slipped, and that's all there is to it. You know what, though? 5 years ago, I would have gone into a deep, deep, deep hole and never emerged, but I just was so aware of first of all, what a privilege it was to be able to be on the field, to do that with my daughter there. We had the best night. Unfortunately, the Padres didn't cooperate that night, but...
They didn't win our game either,
no.
So you know, that's just the way it
you
goes sometimes.
You guys had players. I had a ball girl.
Yeah, we had players. Three of them. Lined
that's
up.
That's the respect
around.
Of a country morning show host.
All right, the category today...
Sorry, Claire, you were great,
taking
Claire.
On James is Go Where You Want to Go. Tier 1 Janice submitted these questions, so the song titles all contain the word go. Remember,
okay.
Two-second song, you need to give me the title and the artist.
Okay.
And we go from there. All right, 60 seconds on the clock. John, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Category, Go Where You Want to Go. Good luck. Let's take on James.
The Clash, Should I Stay or Should I Go?
Correct. Wham! Makes reference to the 1930s.
Wake Me Up Before You Go,
correct.
Go.
Correct. Which upbeat track by Prince and the Revolution is both the opening
Let's
track...
Let's Go Crazy.
Correct. After singing Baby, Baby, the Supremes ask which heartbreaking question in the title of a 1964 Motown classic?
Where Did My Love Go?
Where Did Our Love Go? Correct. Actually written by Daryl Hall but never released by Hall & Oates. Which ballad of love and loss became a huge hit for English musician Paul Young in 1985?
Every time you go away. Oh,
very nicely done. Now, should I have given him that one? Because
I say you shouldn't have.
You think not. Because it makes a difference. Because you know what, James? Let's give it to you. Four. Let's call it a 4-4 tie. Because it is Where Did Our Love Go?
Yeah. I wouldn't give it.
You get the Woods treatment. We wouldn't give it to him.
No. No.
Yeah,
I deserve it.
Let's go all the way. Hard rules. Jeopardy style rules. You get one little tiny thing wrong.
No.
And we got to knock you. So congratulations, James. You are in. You are in for the drawing for Las Vegas. Carrie Underwood, too, at the Resorts World.
Ooh,
good
very
prize
nice.
This month. Isn't that nice?
Very
yeah,
nice.
Residency.
She just teamed up with Papa Roach for a great rendition of one of their... Yeah, she's a metalhead. She's a metalhead. Check it out. Google Carrie Underwood. She does Motorhead in concert. She opened up for Guns N' Roses last year. She brought Axl at Stagecoach. She's a rocker.
Papa Rally Roach. Can you play... Can you play our Bro Country song?
Which one? The new one?
Yeah, the new one. We got the winning song
now.
So
we've been using AI to create songs over the last couple weeks. We created one last Monday because the Padres could not win on Sundays. Mm. They lost every Sunday for like 2 months.
Hmm.
And we did a AI humorous song about the Padres failing to win baseball games on Sunday in the style of Bro Country.
Mm.
Well, they won yesterday.
Okay.
So we got a new song. It's called Padres Sunday Miracle. It already sounds like something you guys would be playing.
I'll have no comment on that.
Sunshine hitting the diamond fresh. San Diego Padres chasing that quest. Last place hoping for some Sunday zest. Rockies laughing think they the best. Padres lineup looking sharp today. Pitcher throwing heat, let's make them pay. Crowd going wild, cheers and sway. Rockies feel the pressure start to fray. It's a Padres Sunday miracle, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
The ball flying out the park, don't care.
I mean, remember, novelty songs used to require, you know, a band, creativity, and probably weeks of work to get it all done. Now Paulie does that in 10 seconds.
It's crazy.
Hot dogs, mustard, beer in hand. Sunburns, baseball tans, never planned. Those calls to
this is better than most Florida Georgia Line songs. I'm not going to lie.
We won't let your audience know you said that, John.
So. That is awesome.
Thank you. One more day, and then Woods is back. We really appreciate
myself.
You coming
oh
out
God,
over here. Thank you, John. You've done well. But James, hang on the line. Paulie will get your information, get you into the drawing for Las Vegas. Carrie Underwood, and we will we'll get to Don't Do This coming up next, including one of the biggest announcing mistakes you are ever going to hear in the biggest moment of the Olympics from this weekend. Coming up next after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. Wait. Hey, guys. Missed up. Okay. Take on Woods was brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com.
Mm-hmm.
Take on Woods was last segment.
Mm-hmm.
This segment is Don't Do This.
Yes.
It's brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. Different segment entirely.
Why, the Kraft Taco, simply the best.
Yes. Some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thecrafttaco.com. Did you get James's information?
I still need to grab
it. Okay, still need to grab it. Sorry, James. Hang on. Don't worry. We will have not forgotten about you. We will get to you in just a second.
I'll get him right now while Ben tells you about it.
All right, I will start Don't Do This, because last week, Paulie told you about a story, I think in the Rindle Report, about the documentary series that was going to feature the story of Connor Stallions, the Michigan, you know, unofficial assistant who was at the center of last year's, you know, sign stealing scandal, you know, the advanced scouting of Michigan opponents, trying to, you know, get an edge on, you know, Michigan opponents. And what did Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan coaching staff really know about this? You know, turned out, you know, they kind of gave him a slap on the wrist, but ended up not really having any punishments last year. Well, the draft of the NCAA notice of allegations has been obtained by ESPN. So, essentially, the findings of the investigation. And not only do the coaches know about it, but they are facing major penalties, including new Michigan head coach Sharon Moore, who's one of seven members of the program accused of violating NCAA rules. Moore, in particular, is allegedly deleted a thread of 52 text messages with Connor Stallions.
Yikes.
In October 2023, on the same day that the media reports came out that revealed Stallions was leading the effort to capture the play-calling signals of future opponents. So that, in and of itself, is a pretty big no-no. And then, by the way, for everyone who said, well, Jim Harbaugh didn't know any of this, the draft allegations say that Jim Harbaugh is facing level one violations, and that possibly he could even be given a show cause penalty, which means he wouldn't be allowed to come back to college football without facing severe penalties and possibly several years suspension. So everyone who said it's a nothing story, it's not, you know, not important, they didn't really get an advantage, the NCAA seems to think otherwise and is taking this pretty seriously. Moore could be suspended for a game or two, it looks like, early in the season, and Harbaugh may never be able to come back. Now, maybe he's not going to. Maybe that's why he went and took the head coaching job with the LA Chargers. But, you know, after deny and, you know, downplay and try to make it seem like it wasn't anything, the NCAA seems to have found otherwise in the case of Connor Stallions and Michigan football.
It's kind of too bad that the coaches, anytime something like this happens, they can just jump ship, go to the NFL, you know, fall up, and be free of any consequences.
Now, Michigan may still face some of these consequences, but Harbaugh is
right.
Essentially...
No, I'm talking about Harbaugh in particular.
As long
Pete
as he
Carroll,
stays
same
in...
thing, USC.
Yep.
Jump ship, went to the NFL, ended up winning a Super Bowl, like... It's too bad that
should,
there's not
like,
enough of a partnership with the NFL and the NCAA.
Yeah, I mean, should there be like an agreement between the NFL and the NCAA? Hey, if your coach gets penalized, then there has to be some sort of suspension enforcement on their new job in the NFL.
Like, who says no to that besides the coach in
the
question?
The Chargers would probably say no to that at this point.
But
I mean, the NFL doesn't want to be held to some other organization's rules. I get that. But it is a bad look, obviously. And... you know, Jim Harbaugh will get off scot-free because he's no longer coaching at Michigan. I mean, he did serve a three-game suspension. But show cause in level one, that's serious in NCAA terms.
All right, let's go to the Olympics. We mentioned him earlier in the show, and we teased for Don't Do This. The broadcast is the Don't Do This here for the 100-meter sprint, the men's gold medal race. And Noah Lyles did win, but you wouldn't have known that if you were just listening to the broadcast. Here's how it sounded.
There's an Olympic gold medal waiting for somebody who wants it the most. This is close. Jamaica's going to do it on debut.
They're working on the photo. Noah Lyles is looking anxiously. It's Noah Lyles. And it had to go to a photo finish to decide it.
America, I told you.
Yes, Noah Lyles won, even though they said...
Jamaica's going to do
He's
it.
He's not Jamaican.
He's not.
American.
Yeah. He was racing for Team USA. And, look, I mean, those guys are moving so fast. The entire, like, your entire call for that race is, what, 9 seconds, 8 seconds, whatever the final score. Like, it goes so fast, but you have to be perfectly correct in how you phrase it.
Sure, but I mean, everyone knew it was incredibly close. I mean, incredibly close.
Yeah, Jamaica didn't like run away with it.
And there was no like signal given who the winner is
right
when
away.
He crosses the line. It's not like an out at first base. And even like when Don or Jesse is calling it out at first base, if it's really close, they'll hold out, but, you know, hold all tickets for a second. This
right.
one, they may want to review this one because we know
Jamaica's
it's really close.
Jamaica's going to do it! Off
he didn't even give it... He didn't even give it like a, but maybe not. Let's wait just a second to see.
I think Jamaica might have won, but it was so close. We're going to go to a photo finish.
He was just confidently declaring Jamaica the winner. And I don't know what he was thinking. Now, when they replayed it in the primetime version last night, they kind of, they didn't redo the race, but they kind of added quick context and edited it out a little bit so it didn't sound quite as bad as it did on the original call, because there was actually more time that passed between... They talked for like 30 seconds about Jamaica's win before they actually even realized that it was a photo finish and that it's possibly that Jamaica did not win the gold medal. I mean, it's the... You got... Yeah, one chance every 4 years on this to get it right. That's a pretty bad... botching of a call of a 10-second race. Good luck maybe in 4 more years if you get that opportunity to call it again.
Yeah, well, I'm going to make this a hybrid. That's the don't do this for this story. The do this.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
Is Noah Lyles. I think he is a entertaining and fascinating athlete. He came to light. He made headlines nationally a few years back. We played it on the show. Remember, he was talking about the NBA championship, and I think he was at like the world championship track meet or whatever, and he was talking about like, I was watching the NBA finals and they crown the winner the world champions. And he goes, the world champions of what? The United States? Like, I'm out here with guys with their flags around them racing for their country, determining who is actually the best in the world. And some people agreed with him, a lot of people didn't agree with him, and I think all of the basketball world was kind of rooting against him, or at least watching, paying attention. So huge flex for him to say that, and then a couple years later, go out and win gold, win a world championship. And then he posted on social media yesterday after the win. Noah Lyles says, I have asthma, allergies, dyslexia, ADD, anxiety, and depression. But I will tell you that what you have does not define what you can become. Why not you?
I saw that. That was cool. And well, I will save it. The NBA, all the best players in the world play in the NBA, and while the teams are all American except for the Toronto Raptors, I think it's fairly safe to call the NBA champion the world champion.
What hurts me the most is that I have to watch the NBA finals, and they have world champion on their head. World champion of what? The United States? Don't get me wrong. I love the U.S. at times, but that ain't the world. That is not the world. We are the world. We have almost every country out here fighting, thriving, putting on their flag to show that they are represented. There ain't no flags in the NBA.
I see his point. I mean, the World Series. I mean, so he could say the same thing. Well, the Japanese champion, there's the Korean champion.
It was an interesting couple segments across sports radio a couple years back.
Sure, it was. And then just a quick update from a story from
Mega Doo-Doo
last week. Good news for Dodgers first baseman Freddie Freeman and his wife, who said yesterday that their 3-year-old son Maximus is home from the hospital. Very scary. Was being treated for Guillain-Barré syndrome, a rare neurological disorder. It was touch and go for a while. He was in the hospital for several days. But Max, they say, has a still long road ahead of him to regain his strength and relearn how to walk. But we're so thankful to have our family back together again. So best wishes again. And I see Padres fans sharing that sentiment, even though he's a Dodger, to Freddie Freeman and his family and his son Max for hopefully a full recovery. And glad that he's gotten home and out of the hospital and hopefully out of... out of harm's way for now.
I hate the Dodgers. They are my least like team in all of sports, but this is a little bit bigger than baseball. Saw that update. I just can't imagine how scary that was. And yeah, he's got a long road ahead of him, but wishing him all the best.
And that's don't and do this for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we went through Sunday's game. I want to talk a little bit about Friday and Saturday's Padres-Rockies matchups. And then Sammy Levitt's going to join us in studio for the last couple hours of the program. We'll get to have Sammy in to talk more Padres baseball at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. Benny and Paul coming back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. If this isn't a sign that fall is approaching, I don't know what is. A little fantasy football liner for you. Hey, fantasy football team owners, get ready for the draft with Reception Perception. Whether you're in a PPR league or not, wideouts will make or break your fantasy team. That's why you need to listen to a podcast that specializes in wide receivers. Now, that is niche. Don't get embarrassed this season with a new tattoo that your friends pick out for you on your behalf. Listen to new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Get ready for draft day. Reception Perception on the Odyssey app. It is free to download. I am not ready to think about fantasy football yet, but I guess you have to start jumping in here, Paulie.
I don't really play fantasy football anymore, but I am not naive in knowing that wide receivers can make or break your team. So I guess if there was going to be a position-specific Odyssey podcast, wide receivers would be the one you want to
listen
to.
You know who's a big proponent of drafting wide receivers early? Tommy Pham. He talked about that last night on Sunday Night Baseball.
He goes receiver, receiver, receiver.
While he was playing left field. But now, you know, so many other guys are choosing receivers, he may need to pivot a little bit. That was part of the discussion. I was definitely intrigued to see Tommy Pham mic'd up for the St. Louis Cardinals last night as they took on and lost to the Chicago Cubs on Sunday Night Baseball. I wasn't sure. I mean, you said it last week, right? So the ESPN broadcast requested from Tommy Pham from Adam talking about getting into a fight, when he got into a fight. And it was about fantasy football, wasn't it?
No. I think this...
Who did he slap of fantasy football?
That was Jock Peterson.
Yeah, he slapped Jock Peterson because of fantasy football.
Was that when he said I'm a good fighter?
Yeah, my new Muay Thai, and I thought that was something separate.
I thought it was about the fans, because I thought when he slapped Jock, he was not with the Padres anymore, and he was still defending the Padres.
Well, he obviously still cares, because one thing that Tommy did say was he won the Arizona Diamondbacks Fantasy Football League last year, which obviously they did the draft probably, you know, in this time of the year when he was there helping them in their playoff push. And then he obviously left and he signed with the White Sox, and he said they promised they'd have a ceremony for him when he came back. And they went back in June with the White Sox, played a 3-game series in Arizona, and there was no ceremony. And Tommy, being Tommy, you'd think that he's joking when he says he's kind of mad about it, but I don't think Tommy jokes about anything. I think he's legitimately mad that they didn't have some sort of ceremony for him for winning the Fantasy Football League. And I'm pretty sure he's filing that away and is going to hate the Arizona Diamondbacks and everything about them forever because they didn't give him his Fantasy Football Championship ceremony when he returned with the White Sox back in June.
I'm a very good fighter. You know, I don't do Muay Thai, Kung Fu, and box for no reason.
He also said he's now working on shooting. He started shooting. He said, well, if I'm going to be in the Olympics, maybe I'll do one of those shooting events. He said, I'm just like a C right now, but after I retire, maybe I will get locked in and could get up to like Olympic level of shooting. So that was Tommy Pham on Sunday Night Baseball last night and what he had to say during his stint in the outfield. I did check. The Cardinals they've already gone to Arizona, so he does not have another chance to go to Arizona and get that fantasy football ceremony that he wants. All right, let's check traffic. Want to talk about Friday and Saturday's games and how obviously the wins this weekend kind of changed the perception of what happened on Friday night. Get to that after Kelly here on 97.3 The Fan. So Friday night was a very 2024 Padres moment. You come off a sweep of the Dodgers, a 2-game sweep. And then you lose to the Colorado Rockies. Actually already happened earlier this year when the Padres won a series from the Dodgers and then get swept by the Colorado Rockies earlier this year. But I watched Friday night's game, and my instinct was telling me that that was not necessarily a game that you should be totally panicking about. It wasn't the best game, obviously, the Padres have ever played, but Randy Vasquez got through his five innings, three hits, one run. You know, Austin Gomber, for whatever reason, and you could say Austin Gomber's not a very good pitcher, pitches well against the Padres every time. And some pitchers just do well against certain lineups. It's just good matchups, and they just have trouble with Austin Gomber. And it's not once, it's not twice, it's been several starts now that Austin Gomber gives the Padres problems, and he did. And they still had a chance to win that game. They fought, and they took the 2-1 lead, and they did what they kind of had to do to sneak out a win. And then they had the bullpen set up on Friday with all their high-leverage relievers ready to go, and Jeremiah Estrada just didn't get it done. You know, the biggest problem was obviously the walks to start the inning when they gave up the three-run frame. When it was the sixth inning, he led off with a walk. That's bad, but you can overcome that. It was really the second walk, and it was a full-count pitch right at the top of the zone. I think it lit up the zone, but he didn't get the call. It probably was a strike him out, throw him out, double play. If he gets the call, it's a completely different situation. Then he gets the one-out RBI, two RBI single by Chris Bryant, which wasn't hit hard. It was off the end of the bat, but, you know, floated into center field. And then he had a Jake Cave opposite field kind of dribbler for the next RBI. And those innings are going to happen, whether you're the best team in baseball or the worst team. You're going to have those innings that just happen. And then they just couldn't get anything done against a, you know, obviously not very good Rockies bullpen. That was frustrating. So it wasn't a... Certainly wasn't a good game, not one you're going to, you know, write down in your memory banks as, oh, that was a fun night on Friday. It wasn't.
It was just all the circumstance around it, the timing of it. You know, of course, eventually, you know, you're going to lose games. But the highs that we felt last week, whether it was the trade deadline, you know, the two big wins against the Dodgers, and then for them to come out Friday night and just not get anything going.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Manny and Solano had the home runs, but they didn't have anyone on in front of them. Profar had a home run taken away from him. That was a phenomenal catch. Was that Doyle who made that catch? Was amazing catch going over, well over the wall there in center field to rob Profar. So, I mean, yeah, there were some things that went against the Padres in that game. Still, it wasn't a great game, but why I say that the next two games completely changed the perception is that it confirmed what I thought on Friday, that it wasn't necessarily the sign of something bad to come. It was just, you know, the best teams are only going to win 60% of their games. I mean, the Rockies, the worst team, they're going to win 30 to 40% of their games. So even in a three-game series, the best team against the worst team, you're really thinking two out of three most of the time. Can the Padres come back and take two out of three? Against a bad team, if you're a good team, the way I always like to see it is that you probably have one game where you blow them out, you have one game where you win close, and you'll have one game where you lose close. That's typically how a three-game series against an inferior opponent goes. And in the end, after the weekend, that's exactly what happened. The Padres' close win came on Saturday, and that was the nerve-wracking game, obviously, of the series.
It was the game you had the most questions about.
With Martin Perez, you having nothing to get from him.
Yeah.
If the Padres said they knew what they were going to get from him, they were lying. Because they didn't. And they didn't really say that they did. But they had to be absolutely thrilled with the six innings, three hits, one run on a solo home run, seven strikeouts. That was the most shocking part of Martin Perez's outing. Because he's not a guy who gets a ton of swing and miss. I mean, he's got a good changeup, but he did on Saturday. He flummoxed the Rockies for six innings. Now, Tanner Goodman did the same thing. A guy with an 8 ERA. Don't know what was going on offensively, but the Padres were just still in that funk. Only got one hit, but they did manufacture one small ball run with the help of that Jackson Merrill sacrifice bunt in the fifth inning to get it tied. And then finally, they rallied in the seventh, you know, got the single by Cronenworth, the double by Manny, Xander RBI single, and the Merrill sacrifice fly, just enough to hold on for the 3-2 win after Tanner Scott made his Padres debut on Saturday, did allow a solo home run to Jacob Stallings, ended a streak of 17 and two-thirds scoreless innings for the National League reliever of the month with the Miami Marlins for the month of July. But you also saw in those other at-bats why Tanner Scott was so valuable. And I mean, he had some nasty movement on those pitches. That one pitch, yeah, just good swing on it and got him. But you saw what was so appealing for the Padres about Tanner Scott when they sent a pretty big haul to the Marlins to acquire him at the trade deadline. Manny made that phenomenal play in foul territory, the one with the great throw, and then the one with the throw that was up the line, and then Jake made the great play in the ninth inning to help Robert Suarez lock down his 24th save. And then the Padres did what, you know, they needed to do, pulled away yesterday for the 10-2 win. So you got your big win, you got your close win, you got your close loss. There's nothing to complain about. There's nothing to complain about on a 4-1 homestand, nothing to worry about taking 2 out of 3. What's in the past is in the past. They can't go and correct that sweep by the Rockies. They can't correct the game that they blew in Colorado when they were up, 9-4, and then they lost 10-9. It was one of the games I was on vacation for and missed. But you can't go back in time and fix the mistakes you've already made. But you didn't let it snowball into a bigger mistake by losing the series at home to the Colorado Rockies.
Of course, it was August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th this weekend. Like, there's no must wins on August 3rd. But when you drop that Friday night game, it does magnify the pressure. Like, you have to come back and get the win on Saturday. Scraped it out 3-2. And you're like, guys, you can't lose the series. Of course you can. You know, the season's not over if you do. But that would just be such a blow to lose that series
against
the Rockies. It
is, that's also our mentality. The Mets lost 2 of 3 to the Angels. That's a huge blow. Just like when it was when the Angels swept the Padres. But Angels sweeping the Padres and the Rockies sweeping the Padres. Turns out it didn't end the Padres season earlier. And this isn't going to end the Mets season either. They're not simply done and going away because they lost 2 of 3.
You just feel like you lose a lot of that momentum that you had been building.
Sure. Yeah, you know, they've made their life more difficult. Now they have to come back. They're a game and a half out of the last playoff spot and 2 games behind the Padres and Braves. But I guarantee you, no one in New York is going, you know, light the season on fire. Right. We're a game and a half out of a playoff spot.
Should have sold.
You know, we lost 2 of 3 to the Angels. They're a horrible team, but it's going to happen. It probably, almost certainly, will happen at some point again to the Padres the rest of this season. They're not going to win every series of the second half. They've won the first 5. They're not going to win every series in the second half of the season. I promise you that.
Faith.
They could have the best record in baseball in the second half. There will be a series loss somewhere in there. And I think it's our challenge as fans. When that happens, let's try not to hit the panic button as quickly as we tend to do.
It's all a matter of how they lose that series.
Well, you say that. I mean, but
if they go and get just dominated, bodied, 3 games in a row by the Marlins, I'm going to come in very pissed off.
Haven't been bodied in a series.
I'm saying, I mean, if that were to happen, that would be cause for what the F is happening.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, next weekend, you're right, at the Marlins. But guess what? The Braves just lost 2-4 to the Marlins at home. They lost both games on Saturday and Sunday. They lost 7-0 yesterday to the Marlins, the team that sold off at the deadline, that barely had a roster that Skip Schumacher could put on the field. The Atlanta Braves, who are going for it again and are leading the wild card race. They lost twice in a row at home to the Marlins. Are they panicking in Atlanta today? Maybe. I don't know. I just feel like we panic a lot faster than other fan bases, and I don't know that we have to.
Conditioned that way.
Guess who's here? Sammy Levitt has arrived in studio. Going to be co-hosting with us here as we get to the second half of Ben and Woods coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.